Have you heard of phages? A bacteriophage, or phage, is a type of virus that attacks bacteria, often to the benefit of humans, animals, and ecosystems. They are one of the most numerous organisms on Earth, but they're less well known than many notorious viruses like the coronavirus, influenza, or HIV. Tom Ireland shines a light on these microbes in his new book, The Good Virus: The Amazing Story and Forgotten Promise of the Phage. Tom is an award-winning science journalist and editor of The Biologist magazine. He regularly contributes to BBC Science Focus, and he's written for The Guardian, New Scientist, and BBC News. Here he is to share five of his big ideas.
Hello, I'm Tom Ireland, science journalist and author of The Good Virus: The Untold Story of Phages. If you're not sure what a phage is, that's okay. Not many people do. But I've been researching and writing about them for the last 3 years, and I happen to think they're the most important yet underappreciated life form on the entire planet. Phages are viruses that have evolved to infect and kill bacteria. So they're microbes that attack other microbes. And while that might sound impossibly obscure to the average person, here are my five key insights from the book on why these viruses are so important to us and our planet. Insight number one, phages are nature's antibiotics. These viruses have been evolving to infect and kill bacteria for almost 4 billion years. They're really good at it. Everywhere there are bacteria, these viruses are not far away, infecting them, replicating inside of them, and then bursting them open from the inside out. So phages can be used to kill the bacteria that cause infectious disease in humans. And amazingly, they were first used in medicine over 100 years ago in 1919, almost two decades before the world's first antibiotic drug, penicillin, was widely available. In the 1920s and 30s, they were actually a hugely popular way of treating bacterial disease all over the world. But this was before the strict regulations and clinical trials that we now have to prove medical formulas are safe and effective. Scientists also didn't understand these viruses very well either. If you got the right phage that could infect the specific bacteria causing a patient's disease, the results could be spectacular. But if you used the wrong type of phage, they were completely useless. With such inconsistent results, phages soon got a bad rep that they struggled to shake off. And when antibiotic drugs like penicillin came along, doctors in most countries found them far more consistent and convenient to use. Over the course of the 20th century, much of the world abandoned the idea of using phages, and then virtually forgot all about it. But we've become more and more dependent on chemical antibiotics, and bacteria have developed resistance to these drugs. This crisis of antibiotic resistance is now starting to hit really hard, with millions of people dying every year from infections that our best antibiotics just can't treat. In the future, if we don't adopt new approaches, we face a return to the time before antibiotics, when even minor ailments, like food poisoning or surgical wounds, could cause life-threatening complications. And so now, the idea of using phages to treat infections is once again being taken seriously. Phages are still really challenging to use as medicines. We're talking about things that self-replicate and evolve inside the body. This has made them really hard to test in clinical trials and to regulate like regular drugs. There's also the problem of having to find exactly the right phage for every patient's particular infection. This is not an off-the-shelf solution, but we now finally have the technology and the will to drag this 100-year-old idea into the 21st century. Insight number two. We have a lot to learn from Soviet and post-Soviet medicine. There are some places in the world that never stopped using phages to treat infections. One of those places is Georgia, the former Soviet country at the southernmost tip of Russia. Here, doctors prescribe phages for all manner of ailments, and in pharmacies, you can get solutions of concentrated phages to drink, or phage-infused creams to rub on wounds and spots. Throughout the 20th century, scientists and doctors in places like Georgia and other former Soviet countries like Russia and Poland kept on refining the use of phages as medicines, even when we'd forgotten about the idea in the West. Drugs like penicillin were often hard to get in the Soviet Union, and so in the battle against infectious disease, they poured their efforts into producing thousands of litres of phage-based medicines every year. Because of the Cold War and the complete blockade of information between East and West, we knew virtually nothing about this. And even when the USSR collapsed and the Iron Curtain came down, Western scientists mostly derided the idea as backwards, old-fashioned and too difficult. However, with bacteria becoming increasingly resistant to every antibiotic in our arsenal, more and more people are travelling to Georgia to be treated with phages. When doctors in the West do try to use phages, it's often as a last resort. As well as regulation and technical challenges, there are just very few people in the Western world that know how to administer this strange type of treatment. Meanwhile, decades worth of experience and records from Soviet countries lie unused and unseen, often because it doesn't meet Western expectations of what clinical data should look like. But also just because, well, in the West we publish scientific literature in English, and if it happens to be in Russian or Georgian, then it might as well not exist. Insight number 3. Phages helped defeat the Nazis in World War II. If you're still not convinced about the power of viruses to do good, how about this fascinating account from Russia during World War II? In the summer of 1942, as German troops encircled the city of Stalingrad, Nazi commanders began to receive bizarre reports of dead bodies disappearing from German hospitals. In the dead of night, Soviet scouts were crossing the front line to steal certain German corpses before taking them back down into a secret underground laboratory. The Germans had been suffering from outbreaks of cholera for weeks as they advanced east towards Stalingrad, and the Soviets were desperate to prevent the disease from crossing the front line. So what on earth were the Soviets doing, seeking out potentially infectious German corpses and dragging them into their territory? Well, a scientist called Professor Zinaida Yermolyeva from Moscow's Institute of Experimental Medicine had been sent by Joseph Stalin to assess the cholera outbreaks and formulate a plan. Back then, just one genuine antibiotic substance was known to scientists, penicillin, and they were still unable to produce it in large enough quantities to treat patients. So Yermolyeva had become an expert in so-called phage therapy. The whole planet is teeming with bacteria and phages, so when Yermolyeva arrived in Stalingrad, the problem wasn't finding phages. It was finding the right one. She needed to find phages that could infect and kill the exact strain of cholera bacteria causing the local outbreaks on the German side. The best place to find these viruses was in and around the deadly bacteria itself, and the best place to find the deadly bacteria was on the bodies of people who were dying from it. Working with the corpses in her underground lab, she soon isolated the strain of cholera bacteria causing the disease, and then the viruses living alongside it. She tested which ones could kill the bacteria most effectively, and using only rudimentary equipment, isolated them, concentrated them, purified them, and brewed them in vast quantities. Soon she had made enough anti-cholera phage cocktails to ensure 50,000 preventative doses were given out to soldiers and civilians in the city every day with their daily bread rations. Ahead of what would become a pivotal battle of World War II and the defeat of the German army, Yermolyeva is said to have received a call from Stalin himself. Is it safe to keep more than 1 million people at Stalingrad? Can the cholera epidemic interfere with our military plans? He asked. Yermolyeva replied that she was winning on her front. No cholera outbreaks had broken out within the city. Now it was the Red Army's turn to win on theirs. Insight number 4. Phages are fundamentally important to life on Earth in many other ways. I want to take a break from talking about infections and antibiotic resistance and medicine for a second, and think about the role of phages in the world at large. For a long time, scientists thought that the number of viruses out in the environment was fairly insignificant. Quite understandably, they tended to study human environments and the places where you might find viruses that infect humans. It was only in the 1990s that a group of virologists decided to take some samples of clean water from the open ocean and just look for viruses there. What they found was astounding. In a few milliliters of water, scooped from a random point in the open ocean, they found millions of viruses, almost all of them phages. If there were millions of viruses in a few milliliters of seawater, then how many were there in the whole world? The number would be astronomical. Other groups started to do the same thing, taking small samples of water from bays and lakes and rivers and marshes and swamps. Everywhere they looked, millions and sometimes hundreds of millions of phages in every drop. Rather suddenly, and surprisingly recently, we've come to realise that the number of viruses in the environment is not insignificant at all. Phages are in fact easily the most abundant biological entity on Earth. In fact, life on Earth is kind of simmering in this soup of bacterial viruses, and always has been. Despite individual viruses being submicroscopic, together the world's phages are estimated to hold roughly 200 megatons of carbon at any one time. That's 50 times the amount of carbon emitted by human activities across the entire US each year. All of our models of how nutrients are cycled through Earth's ecosystems and environments have had to be rewritten. And the discoveries about viral abundance just keep coming. Virologists began to explore the number of phages on dry land, for example in soil, and concentrations were even higher, with up to a billion phages in a gram of a particularly rich soil. Even a teaspoon of earth from a baked desert, or ice locked in glaciers for thousands of years, can contain an active community of thousands or millions of phages. When a group of researchers installed collection devices on a concrete platform almost 3 kilometres above sea level in the Sierra Nevada mountains in Spain, they found hundreds of millions and sometimes billions of viruses were simply falling from the sky every day, perhaps blown high into the air from sea spray or dust, and transported around the world on global air currents. Together, these studies have changed our understanding of the planet. The well-established idea that microbes drive ecosystems on Earth has rather suddenly been reappraised. Microbes may well rule the world, but secretly, viruses rule the microbes. The more we look at these phages, the more stunning insights about their importance are revealed. And the crazy thing is, we know hardly anything about any of these viruses. They're known as the dark matter of biology, and represent the greatest untapped pool of genetic material on Earth that could tell us many things about how life on Earth works and where it came from. Insight number 5. I think phages are the future. With the antibiotic crisis becoming more and more acute and deadly, and investment in new antibiotics stalling, radical new approaches are needed. In my book, I explore several exciting new technologies that will make phages easier to use in medicine, from cocktails of genetically engineered phages to man-made phages designed and synthesized at the patient's bedside. In the developing world, where antibiotic resistance is likely to hit hardest, naturally occurring phages found in the environment could offer an extremely cost-effective source of new ways to kill bacteria. Remember, these antibiotics are everywhere, just waiting to be found. In my book, I tell some really neat stories involving ordinary people, even a child in one case, finding phages in the environment that go on to save people's lives. The Good Virus also explores the other exciting ways these hyperabundant and adaptable little viruses could be used for our benefit, from delivering drugs to tumour cells in the body, to helping change the microbial makeup of ecosystems on a grand scale, perhaps to help mitigate against the environmental problems we cause. They are essentially amazingly sophisticated, self-replicating little nanomachines that are all around us, even now, just waiting to be used for good. So they were my 5 insights from The Good Virus, the untold story of phages. I hope you're now a phage fan like me. It's thought that over 99% of the phages out there in the world are unknown to science, so there's lots more to discover. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Tom. That was Tom Ireland with 5 big ideas from The Good Virus, the amazing story and forgotten promise of the phage. You might also like our book bite for The Master Builder, How the New Science of the Cell is Rewriting the Story of Life. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.